grain of rice. A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
How y'all doing, lads? Good morning to you. Bit of rain creeping in there to the second phase of lockdown this morning here in County Clare anyway. Delighted to be joined by the lads. We've the full shooting match here today. We have Larry at bass on sound, and we'll give us massive insights into how the Dan Breen Cup is won in Tipperary. Mark is at home in Killah, and TJ's in work in Limerick City, as usual. I'll tell you, doesn't miss a day by in there. He's in the office. That background there is always the same. It's very, very, very solid. Lads, a month ago last Sunday, John Horn was on with Desi Cahill on the Sunday game. I presume it was recorded probably from the Friday or the Saturday, but in their league, I suppose the general feeling was we were praising him for coming out with a definite statement. Landers, will you quite out the children?
We're young plus out the window. He's 3.5. He's up in the plinth and he's banging the window to get in.
He's out fucking ball. He's out fucking ball.
He's playing the big ball there on football.
I doubt it. I doubt it somehow. But like, there's no doubt about it, lads. I suppose, you know, when we chatted maybe that week or the week after, we were praising Horn, I suppose, in one way for finally someone in the GA was making a statement on the thing. And, you know, while there was social distancing going on, there could be no foreseeable start to Championship hurling. And I suppose here we are like 4 weeks and kind of 3 days on, and we have a roadmap. You know, we'll have pitches open. No, I think they should be open now, to be honest with you, because I think there's a lot of stuff going on. Maybe hooky pooky is what I'm hearing anyway. But like, that we're going to have full contact from the 20th of July, that the GA have told us that. You know, and we have a roadmap where we have 11 weeks for our club championships, and then we'll have our All-Ireland championships, let's call them, be they in provincial form or whatever they decide, on the 17th of September, yeah? Or October, excuse me, with county training allowed to resume on the 14th of September. Yeah. So that's all changed, really, isn't it?
Sorry, has this person some respects, Anthony? I suppose the GA have brought out their own roadmap now, reflecting something similar to what the government have brought out. So, and TJ, you'll come in this as well. But like, I suppose from the 9th of June or yesterday, you know, groups, I mean, the government allowed groups of 15, you know, congregate, whether it's in parks or whether it's in community fields, which is a big thing down, I suppose, down the Cork side. There are a good number of community fields in Cork. So they're allowing groups of 15, no temperature control, social distancing is to be observed. And this was the big thing from a GA perspective, is that the lads aren't insured, which then leads us on to another question, really, is should the fields actually be opened up? Because we've opened up the walkways in our own fields. So what's stopping lads actually going into the field and jumping the wire and groups of 15 within the field? So maybe there's an insurance issue there that Croke Park have got to look at. Maybe the players aren't insured, but like, surely...
Mark, can I just ask you on that? If, just say, when we open and the walkways are open, right? And just say you're a member of the club and yourself and the missus who's a member of the club go off for a walk in the walkway and kill her. If you have one, we don't have one.
Were you watching Matthew Morrissey that last week? Yeah, he was videoing live from Killah.
The last time I saw him, he was out with the lifeboats in Kilroy. Well, himself and your man there. What's the other fella's name?
Oh, the fella do the beard, Brendan something, is it? Okay, the comedian.
Yeah, I have the show they do together. Yeah. The last time I saw him, he was off Kilrush on a boat. I'd say about three fucking life buoys hanging off him because he can't swim a stroke. if you rolled your ankle, Mark, just say you went jogging or something on the walkway and you rolled your ankle and you did ligament damage, are you covered as a member or a full paid up member of your club? Is your insurance covering you for that walkway?
I'm almost certain that I'll. Well, look, all GA clubs have public indemnity anyway, Anthony, because you, whether you're a member or you're a non-member, you could be coming in to watch a match and stuff like that, and you could roll your ankle or break your leg, and you may not be a member of a club at all. So the public indemnity would cover the club in that scenario. But I would put it this way, the fact that all those facilities were locked down until yesterday, I think if you rolled your ankle 3 days ago, you wouldn't be covered because the facility isn't supposed to be open. And that in there is where the problem is in from a player's perspective going into a field, saying, you know, the fields are still not open, so you're not allowed into that field because it's GAA property.
Okay. I've been hearing all sorts of stories about teams training since Saturday, Sunday. I don't know, TJ, have you heard any anecdotal stuff? I'm not going to name names or anything like that. I'm not saying, but be they in community pitches, I've heard a couple of stories about teams blatantly flouting rules and going into pitches as well from a couple of different counties. But I don't know if you've heard any of that sort of stuff, TJ, or you know.
Yeah, no, I have, Dale, and it's a bit like since COVID started the start of the year, I think these mixed messages has been kind of part and parcel of each part of the course. I have heard of a team who trained the other night, and there was a good group there, I think about 31 players. They were trying to do it in clusters, and they had a ball between them and trying to play by the rules, but it was in a community field. It wasn't in the GAA field, and I think they were told that there was no insurance to cover them. So it is a tricky ground. But look, the GAA, what you said about John Horne, when John Horne spoke in the Sunday game about social distancing, he did give that negative vibe that we wouldn't have GAA. I did think that myself, and that was the common consensus. Now we've moved to this, and I did read this 15-page document last night, Dalo, that you sent on to me, and it's a little bit like yourself. It's complicated.
there's another show on that, TJ.
For myself, I'm chairman of the board in all of you guys' plan, right? And even just to try and get together and look at different pieces, I just to give one piece there, right, about the health questionnaire and temperature checks, right? The document clearly states, right, prior to each training session and until further notice, players, parents, guardians, and backroom personnel should complete the self-administered standard risk assessment health questionnaire, right? And they want each club then, Dale, to have a COVID kind of a supervisor to look after all that. So that's going to cause a lot of difficulties for clubs. But at the same time, you have to give the GAA credit. They're trying to get this moving. They're trying to play ball. And I suppose, look, we would have taken this a month ago to say, look, we could have action.
Yeah, I think, look, that's the bottom line, I suppose. I just took great heart from the words of Shane Kingston yesterday. He obviously did a bit of media work yesterday for all comers, and you know his line was, "We'll take whatever we get."
Absolutely.
You know, yes. He mentioned about burnout and you know dual players and that kind of thing. But just on that COVID supervisor, TJ, so does that mean that's you and Gary Spillane as chairman? It's up to you to decide, though, is it?
Yeah, I think initially they're asking each club secretary and each club chairperson, right, to complete the online module for the education piece and what's required here, right? Or the chairperson can nominate someone. Now, in fairness, I usually like, as chairperson, to step into the Ron O'Gara jersey and pass the ball as much as I can, Dale. Like, so I'll find somebody myself.
So what you really mean is you'll kick the touch?
Absolutely.
Outside the 22.
Yeah, it is there for each club. They're asking each club to have a number of COVID supervisors. And like, I'm sure that if you ask anybody within a club to take on that role, they will probably ask you for the brief, what's involved, what sort of responsibility is there. And then to go to the end of that process, Dale, if that happens to be you in Clare Castle, right, what are you going to do as the COVID supervisor if somebody isn't playing by the rules, if they're kind of allowing a little bit of free-for-all, if they're not applying social distancing, if they're not doing it in the groups of 10 or 4, whatever is agreed? There's plenty areas for disagreement, I would say.
And could there be areas for internal suspensions, Mark, and maybe national? Like, I could see the GAA making an example of somebody. If some of the innuendo I've heard, like, about training and I've even heard mention of a challenge match that a couple of clubs might have from different counties might have been planning before the 28th this month. And would the GAA make an example of somebody, or could would a club be strong enough to say, lads, you broke the rules here, you're suspended for a month?
I don't think it'll come to that, right? Because any manager, and like this, the buck stops at the manager here now. If the manager's gone away and he's organising a challenge match with another club, sure, he's bang out of order. That's the reality. Now, the first thing, anyway, he can't play that match because he's not going to get permission from the Cork County Board or the Munster Council to play the match. So he's obviously going to be putting the players at risk, because if you go play a challenge match, you're not insured anyway without permission. So the manager is totally out of all on about three or four different points. So,
but there is cowboys, well, sure, on Mark. There is, well, cowboys.
There's cowboys and Indians, Dela, but like ultimately the chairman should be on top of his, he should be on top of the situation. He'll know what's going on, and he'll just have to have a word in his ear. Listen, Johnny, you can't play a challenge match. End of story. And if you're like, there is no manager out there going to put the health of any player at risk. So that's when the buck stops at the manager and say, right now, John, you want to go ahead and play that match. And if something happens to any of our players or the opposition, I said, it's on your head. Well, I can tell you, he'd want to be a very silly cowboy, Dela, if he's going to take on that responsibility. So I don't, the roadmap from what I can gather doesn't allow for any challenging matches. And actually, it's specific. Like, from a club perspective, you will have contact from the 20th of July and you're going to your first championship match then in the first week of August, which is 10 days. And only during that period of time, there is contact allowed. So that's the only period of time that a challenge match potentially could be played. And from what I can gather, there's no challenge match allowed. So, like, I would hope as a GA member that fellas won't go to that, I suppose, used to what stupidity, really, like, is because, and to quote Shane Kingston, some small bit of crumb is better than no crumb, because the last thing we want is John Horne coming on a Sunday game again in, we said, 2 months' time and saying, like, we offered you the option of doing all this stuff if you follow the guidelines, and basically our members can follow the guidelines. So, do you know what we're doing? We're shutting down everything now, and we see you on the 1st of January next year. So, everybody's got to play by the rules, Anthony, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, Dale, the rules, I read the 15-page document last night, right, and the rules clearly state right now that basically from 29th of June is that not more than a group of 10 players and stroke two coaches can get together in the designated area of the GAA pitch. That's from the 29th of June. And then it says that basically from the 20th of July that all forms of team and group training are permitted. So really a game, a challenge game, or basically contact training is definitely not in place until north of the 20th of July as we speak right now. And it does say up to the 20th of July, they are advising on this document that basically they advise the distance from each other, which is currently at 2 meters, to be kept. So that is what they're saying right now. And in relation to the juvenile and youth competitions, they're saying that they can take place from the 31st of July to the mid-October. So that's what the document is saying.
Yeah, and look, we are not coming on here, and I'm certainly not coming on to kind of lead this discussion as to be negative. Like, I'm thrilled since we got, you know, that announcement that we could have an All-Ireland, like, before the end of the year. Maybe it'll go into next year, who knows, but we're not trying to be negative here, and I certainly would concur with you, Mark, that I can't see any club committee worth their salt tolerating anything like that. I mean, if they do, nearly the club should be suspended, for my mind, for 12 months. You know, that would be my thinking on this. We have a chance here, as TJ said, we're after being given a roadmap, a bit of hope, even a possibility maybe of because there's a phase dropped already by the government, so that if things stay low cases again yesterday, zero in the north again yesterday, if they stay low, that we could even see maybe things being brought forward a little bit. Yeah. You know, I know there's counter views to that as well.
I think the country is in great shape overall. I think that, you know, the government has shown great leadership, but I think that the Irish public in general have been excellent during this crisis. And we'll all look back in a couple of years' time and we'll be saying, God, remember the year we were shut down and there was nothing happening for 4 or 5 months. But look, this is a pandemic that's hit the whole world, and we've got to act responsible during that period of time. And I think we have in the main. I think it has been excellent. And like when you look at the hospitality centre, we said the hospitality section of the country, that's really on its knees at the moment, because that area is getting the hardest hit at the moment. And look, do you know what have they done? They've taken it on the chin and said, look, we'll bounce back and we'll be open at some stage. So, you know, from a GA, from our point of view on the GA, like a month ago, we weren't looking at any activity really. We are now after getting a small crumb, and let's make the most of it and just play by the rules. And it's the same for everybody, Anthony. That's the big thing. Like, there is nobody has an advantage over anybody else, because if you follow the guidelines, they're exactly the same, whether it's hurling or football, whether you're junior, intermediate or senior. You need, and like as John Horne, a very important thing he said that night in the Sunday game, he said, one life, he said, only one life, if there's only one life affected by this, he said, it'll be a disaster. So I think that's the message that needs to go to all managers across all grades. One life, if it costs one life, it's going to be a disaster. So just let's play by the rules. And it's great to see that there is a roadmap there now. And follow the roadmap as well. Like,
yeah, look, that's top class. And I'd say, do you know, Teej, what I would have found in my complicated life, as you described it, I got involved in the COVID response team in Clare, you know, and as a kind of a gap filler, we're called the local champions of the response thing, and there's one in each county, so maybe one in Limerick City now, one in Limerick County, you know what I mean? But for Clare, there'd be just kind of one. Now, I got involved late because the girl that was doing it cried off, but what I found is we would have met all the volunteers and we would meet them on Zoom calls and like that. There's a whole pile of kind of dormant volunteers, for want of a better phrase at the moment, in that they'd love to be doing. And certainly while the initial lockdown was on and, you know, the 2 kilometre thing was in, they were busier. But once that increased to 5, we'd say in towns like Ennis, and I mean, Aero Guinness now would be the big club in Ennis, obviously. And they had a huge, we met them giving out their PPE over to council offices there in Ennis. And like, I was asking a few of the girls and lads that I'd know from in my youth and over the years and that, I'd still know them to be just neighbours of ours and that. And they were saying, no, since I went up to the 5K, I'm really doing nothing. So, and they're all Aero club people, do you know? So what I would say is there's a whole pile of those people who couldn't do enough for the people around them in their community that would be ideal volunteers to take on that COVID supervisor role and drive that on and do the paperwork, make sure the temperature checks are carried out and that kind of thing. There are people there. I know not all the volunteer groups are GAA orientated. They're certainly not, but there's a huge tie-up. Like, we went around to nearly every corner of Clare presenting PPE, and it was GAA people I was meeting, whether it was Football Country in Kilkee, the Cliffs of Moher, or over in Killaloe or in Innes, you know, Scariff. It was GAA lads that I'd hurled against and their wives and their better halves. And, you know, so I think there is, you know, people there that would step up to the plate for the clubs to get things going. And even on that, Teej, like, they're talking about running the cool camps. But, I mean, I know a lot of clubs have said already, where are we going to get the personnel to run the cool camps, do you know? And yeah, and that's a whole, you know, a whole other kettle of fish, if you like, but similar problems.
Yeah, no, I would credit GAA clubs up and down the country, and they've played a master role. And in fairness to GAA clubs, as you well know, and Sam Mack everywhere, right, is they always come up trumps. They always find a way, and they will find people. And I know, like, it's difficult to get people to take on areas of responsibility sometimes, but they played a huge role. And look, myself, in my own family situation, I was unfortunate last week. We had a family funeral, Dalo, and
your uncle TJ, great Limerick man.
Yeah, he was Bail Anders Club, and he was a club delegate to the county board. And we were a family which was inside in a big church, and just basically a small group of us, which was very eerie. But outside afterwards, Dalo, the GAA club lined the streets, social distancing in place as much as possible. And it made a significant difference, just that. So GAA people up and down the country have played a master role. And there is a genuine eagerness here for everybody to get back rolling. So I do think you'll find the people. I'm just a little bit conscious about that area of responsibility for the COVID supervisor within the GAA club. And again, how strict do you go? And is there a punishment? If somebody doesn't play ball here, what do you do? That's tricky.
Yeah, we will need further guidelines on that, I think, you know, at the end of the month, I think. And a lot of counties are waiting for that, Mark, that further guideline, before they even think about how they'll run their championships.
Yeah, like, I look, just to finish off, and TJ, about the COVID officer, there's probably a lot of people in the clubs, Anthony, that have a health and safety background that may not, that, you know, some people may not be available. And I think if there was a message, that, like, that is their expertise, because this is a bit health and safety ish, I suppose, in some respect. And I think, you know, I certainly know in Killa, the walkway is open between 4 and 8, and they are looking for 2 supervisors every day for, I think, two-hour stints, like, you know. But if people may not be members of the club, if they could step forward and say, look, this is my expertise, I think that would take an awful lot of heat off the clubs, because I think the last thing a GAA club member wants is you know, without a lot of expertise on the health and safety side, is to be putting himself under pressure himself, not knowing the full circumstances around the COVID scenario. So coming back to your question in regards of the club championship and stuff like that, I really think until the GAA will come out first and announce the national scenario, I think some of the counties are maybe have to jump in the gun, I suppose, in some respects. I see Kilkenny have... Now, look, they're not a dual county, I suppose, in some respects. So it's very easy. They have a very simple format, what they're after doing there. Four groups of three, two matches, top team into the quarterfinal, two versus three, the remaining four winners go into the quarterfinals, and you're over and done in 7 or 8 weeks. So that's it's a very easy format. But I'm shocked to see that Wexford, Galway and Kerry have already come out, Anthony, and they are going to have their finals played by the 27th. We might have another chat about that in a minute. But like, I mean, to be kind of squeezing the club player now, right? And like, to be fair, Croke Park have given the chance for the clubs to say, look, do you know what? Here, club players, here's your opportunity now to do your stuff over the next 11 weeks. Can't understand why the county board have cut them short there for, Wexford and Galway would be two dual counties. So I don't understand, you know, I think the club player there is getting a short change, but I suppose Wexford have two outside managers and Galway have an outside manager, Shane O'Neill. They're paying for them, I suppose, and maybe there's a certain amount of pressure to get results for the inter-county team to make that worthwhile, but maybe that's a discussion for the minute. But I think, look, we can go into the Cork scenario, I think, in a minute, if you want to talk about it now, Anthony, we'll box on, really, don't mind.
We'll leave it for a minute, Mark. We'll just stick with that, because I think you made a great point there. John Fogarty has been a massive source of information from the Examiner here. He's been great. Like, John is an inside track there somewhere, and he won't tell us, but in fairness to him, he's always nearly first with the news, you know. And, like, Galway, you know, you probably could identify Dahi Burke has been the massive standout guy, right? Of a dual player. Like, that's really then kind of two championships, separate championships, if you leave Dahi out of it, you know what I mean? Where he plays for Turlochmore and Corrifin. And obviously, it's been sporadic with Corrifin over the years. Usually, when Galway are finished, he goes back later than when we've seen him coming on as a sub and that. Like, Kerry a bit the same in that, you know yourself, the North Kerry bit of the hurling is the hurling. And then also, Kerry have a county championship, which I think they're talking about putting back to maybe later in the year, but playing the club championship for the clubs and having that finished by the 27th. But I kind of agree with you. Like, Wexford is full of dual clubs and dual players, and we only think of the likes of the St. Martins, sure, or, you know, not long since they be... It's a bit similar and clear with the likes of a Cracklaw, who are contenders for both championships every year. It does pose its headaches if you're going to be given groups with three matches guaranteed or backdoor systems and that kind of
thing. You're looking at it.
I think a key question, which we don't have the answer to right now, is what happens on that first weekend in October the 17th for the inter-county deal? Do you go into league action or do you go into inter-county action? I think a massive problem coming down the track here in September would be, let's say, taking Limerick, Napiershig and Park as well, make it to a county final, or Kilmallock, right? They have a significant number of players in the county setup, right? I can't imagine the boys here not having access to them for, let's say, because of a county semi-final or a county final, right? And then the potential of playing championship the following week. You can imagine if you were manager or coach of the team and you don't have access to them until match week. So that will be very, very tricky. So I think what Mark said there about the direction on the inter-county scene, I think will have a big effect on the club as to how quick it has to be run. You know, like pushing the county final into the end of September to give the county teams 2 full weeks, that would be great. But then, as you say, like in Galway, you're putting huge pressure on Dahi Burke probably to play possibly, what, 11, maybe 10, 11, 12 games in, what,
yeah,
8 weeks?
TJ, the reality, you know, is that Dahi Burke needs to, like, Dahi Burke has a decision to make. Like, I certainly don't think that the Galway County Board should be facilitating a championship around Dahi Burke now. And I'd go and I'd look at the Cork Senior Championship last year. Only Damien Cahalan, I'd say, and Aidan Walsh from the hurling team played football championship for the clubs last year. Like, so, like, they're more or less now, a lot of hurlers certainly are making a decision to maybe bypass the football, maybe come back into the scenario, as you just said there a while ago, Anthony, with Dahi Buck coming back at a latter stage. But, like, we've got to take care of the majority in this situation, and there will be certainly a lot of inter-county hurlers. You know, maybe they'll be playing lower grade football, maybe junior intermediate, but a lot of the hurlers, like the likes of the Bill Cooper, Shamie Hannity, Dara Fitzgibbon, Mark Coleman, they don't play football. And like I can actually see them playing a lot more club hurling and bring a lot more enthusiasm back into the community, and they should be allowed to do that, because that is actually what Croke Park are allowing now at the moment, is they're allowing the club to get their speak with, like, you know, club before county. Come on, like the 14th of September is going to create some problem for club players, because any for the left in championship, you're going to have Kieran Kingston on one side of the phone, and he'll have the club manager on the other side of the phone saying, listen, you need to be training Tuesday and Thursday night with the club if you're still left in a quarterfinal or semi-final. And the roadmap states you are available to the club. So that's going to be a big problem for club players.
Mark, sorry, I'm not sure if we got you there. Were you saying don't play football at all to these guys?
Oh, I'm saying they're available for selection, TJ. But like,
did you hear that, Dale?
We the bomber listen as the guest last week on the show, lads. We'd be careful here now.
I thought Dale said a couple of weeks ago that was the big ball wasn't allowed to be discussed at all.
Yeah, we see everything is off the menu, you know. Like, there's, you know, it's a bit like the pubs. Will the salt the peanuts do us when we open? Or what's the story? Will we have to provide a pizza? But no, look, I'd see it as a problem, though. I just give you an example in Clare here, Mark. Like obviously, I take an individual example for a fella like Conor Cleary now, who would have played every league game for Clare at number 3 this year. Obviously, David McInerney has been moved to midfield, and we spoke about the success of that early on the year. So Conor has gone back from 6 to 3. Now, Conor is a Milton Malbay lad, right, who's born and bred. His twin brother Owen would be the main scorer, free taker for the Clare footballers, right? Now, Conor would be an exceptional footballer, would be acknowledged, would be on the football team if he committed to the footballers, right? But his first club would be Milton Malbay, right? But he hurls for Kilmaley. Now, I'd say anyone fair-minded and clear that would be picking the top 2, maybe 3 in their list of favourites in the bookies would say for the Clare Hurling Championship, Clare Football Championship, they'd probably have Milton as number 1 in the football, and Kilmaley be definitely top 3. Like, they've been threatening massive underage success, they'd be threatening, and he'd be their centre-back in the hurling team. I mean, it's a huge, like, and the Clare system for the last few years, which they're proposing, I think this is the grapevine now. Again, there's no decisions on this, would be follow the same pattern. So, a first round, right? Winners go through to the winners group, losers go into a losers group, and we'll play another loser, and the winners of that go back in then and play winners. So, we've got a situation where Kilmaley, we say, quite possible, could draw 6 Mile Bridge, Aina Kilnamona, Cratlaw, whoever. And could lose it by a point, you know, on penalties even, the way we're looking at the match has been finished on the day. And Milltown could draw their near neighbours, Kilmurry, Abrickin, another, you know, throw-up match, like never ending between them, or Dunbeg or somebody, and lose. Then the following week, you're probably looking at asking Kilmaley to play maybe on the Thursday night and Milltown to play on the Saturday or the Sunday. Now, the West Clare clubs won't play midweek, has traditionally been the way. Because if you've a lad in Dublin, key midfielder for your key centre forward for your whatever, you're not asking him to jump into a car, take 2 hours off work and get back down to West Clare for a championship football match in Milltown Malbay of a Wednesday night. Like, so straight away, there's just an individual, right? Aroge would have similar problems with the likes of Shane O'Donnell, David Reedy. Now, I'd say Hurling would come first, like you said, with them, and they would just say, look, I'll sacrifice. But clearly would be under serious pressure in that he's born and reared club would be a football club exclusively. With Cratlaw, the other one, like, I suppose there'd be a bit of it with Adair, Teej, but there wouldn't have as many county players. But Cratlaw would have probably 10 of their senior hurlers would be 10 of their senior footballers. Do you know what? And they would have a chance of winning both championships. That would be also acknowledged clearly and clear every year. Now, it has probably cost them. I touched on that somewhere else. I think the bit of a chat we had with Mike Quirk last Friday, it would have cost them probably championships over the years, they're probably winding up in semi-finals of both every year. But the likes of Dermot Ryan and Podge Collins, like, if they lost the first round in both in an open draw scenario, could find themselves as, again, the following weekend, we could be out Wednesday and Sunday. So the 11 weeks is going to be very tight in some counties. And particular, Mark, like, with G below, like, with with, you know, Emma Kelly are going for four in a row, like, but how is that going to impact in terms of the clubs in the Emma Kelly division getting on with their championship?
So what's going to happen there, Anthony, is that obviously there's seven or eight divisions in the county, and there's a strong feeling that a good number of divisions won't enter a team in the championship this year. So I think Imikili in hurling and Duhallow in football, because both teams will have a realistic chance of winning the county, they will more than likely enter a team. And they will be asked to play midweek, Anthony. They will be playing on a Wednesday night. And the same will apply for the colleges as well, CIT and UCC. So that throws up another spanner for them. But I actually think this could be a blessing in disguise, because there's a lot of clubs in the county want only Cork based players to be allowed play with CIT and UCC. They don't want players from Tipperary and Kilkenny being parachuted in on a Sunday evening after they're playing club championship in their own county. You know, heretofore, that's when the UCCs and the CIT players are Sunday evening. So it actually put clubs on the back foot, because they're waiting all weekend to play a championship match and facilitating UCC and CIT with external players. And a lot of clubs would say, well, sure, what is the external player bringing to Cork hurling, or Cork football for that matter? So there actually could be a bit of poetic justice in what's happening here, because I don't see the Tipperary or the Kilkenny club allowing their player now play midweek with UCC or CIT, because if they're going to have a condensed championship in their own county, they will be trying to cut down the activity of their players. So, like, I think we'll have a small number of divisions will play, but they will be afforded the opportunity to play. That's the first thing. But I think a very streamlined scenario in Cork, we've made huge changes in the county championship this year, and there's been a huge work gone in. So for people who wouldn't be aware, the hurling championship is in five groups of 12 now, right? And the football is in four groups of 12. So, and that then is split.
Say that again, no. Five groups of 12.
There's 60 teams available for Hurling Championship between senior, in top grade, intermediate, and second grade intermediate. Okay? So there's five 12s there. There's going to be promotion, Anthony, and there's going to be relegation. I think they're going to stick to what the plan is. So I'll explain it in a nutshell. They are waiting to see if they have 11 weeks or 12 weeks. And it comes back to TJ's point a while ago about the 17th of October, whether that's going to be a full round of championship or will it be league matches that'll have to be completed. My own personal belief is I don't think the GAA will go straight into championship on the 17th of October. I think they'll allow the 17th, 18th of October, 24th and 25th of October for league matches, and they'll start off a championship on the 1st of November. That'll be my gut feeling. But in Cork's scenario, and if we say it's 11 weeks, they're going to have the first 6 weeks will be hurling football, hurling football, hurling football. And they're your three round-robin games in your group of four, okay? You're then down to quarter-final, semi-final, and final. And they're going to go every second week. And you could have a situation, right, if you go every second week, it'll take 6 weeks to complete it. If you go every second week and you play your two county finals on the same day, if your four teams were non-crossovers, you could play the county final in both hurling and football on the same day, which means the championship is finished in 11 weeks. It's simple, it's streamlined, it's bang-bang, but you don't need any interruption from, we'll say, the inter-county manager in that scenario. But you can get it played in 11 weeks, Anthony. Hurling and football.
I think there's a big willingness from any of the players, both club and county that I met, they do want to play, right? So they're willing to play if they have to play midweek or the weekend. They do want to play games here, right? I suppose the 11 weeks for, like, I know in Limerick, what they're planning is groups of three in the football and hurling, right? So you'll have two games and then you'll progress, right? So to a quarterfinal, semi-final, final. So that's a 5 week there. So 5 weeks of hurling, 5 weeks of football. So it looks like it would fit into play. Just one or two small things that we didn't touch on. I'm assuming the under 20 and the minor will get kicked to maybe afterwards so that can go on while the inter-county is going on. And then on the roadmap as well, just to touch on them with very important people in all organisations, is the supporters. There is no mention of supporters for clubs as to what they can and what they can't do. So maybe that's a discussion definitely for the inter-county.
Yeah, that's another one. I heard mention, all right, of the 42,000, maybe possibly social distancing in Croker later on the year. But I don't know, that was just mentioned in some column. I'm not sure
it was mentioned, right, the 42,000. And that's why I think the All-Ireland Finals, Anthony, in hurling and football could be played as late as February. I have that. I would have a feeling that, and if we knew that was going to be played in February, then you're November, December, January, you have 4 months to play your inter-county hurling and football championship. I know there'll be a crossover with Fitzgibbon and Sigerson, but like that, across that bridge, I think, down that road. But like if the GAA had an extra month or 2 months at the back end, January and February, to play their All-Irelands, I think it alleviates a fair bit of pressure. And it may then allow for the format that we have, the existing format in the Munster Hurling Championship, where your groups are, where you get your four matches played, like, you know?
Well, like, I my own personal, I just put this out there, Mark, I think it'd be a disaster. I think if we have to play the All-Ireland, and I may be thinking with a hurling hat on now, but, and I know we have to think of both codes as well, but if we play the All-Ireland on the 21st of December, shopping week in Dublin, I think it would be just so much. I think it just dilute the whole meaning of the All-Ireland if it's not finished in the calendar year, like the inter-county All-Ireland. There's no way anyway the old system in the round robin like can be played. Cusick Park and Innes have no lights. Walsh Park have no lights. Do you know? So that bit is out the window, I'd say. Do you know? But like the football is going to be a worry, because I've heard it now from a couple of sources that they are talking about two rounds of the league when they initially go back in October. So that's really, and if they're looking for a second chance in that, a backdoor system in football, because as we know, with the way the hurling is split up now, like with the John McDonagh, the Christy Ring and Down Long, they're separate entities now. And if we maybe halt on the promotion relegation, or maybe hold over those matches early next year if we wanted to. But like I for me, if we don't, if like we've an All-Ireland final the 2nd of February, I think nearly the good goes out of it. No one loves the All-Ireland final day more than
Anthony,
I do.
Anthony, for 100 years we were playing the club All-Ireland final in March. That only changed last year. And we were having the same discussion about club fillets. Like, Jesus, why don't we get the club All-Ireland played in the calendar year? Like, we're in unprecedented water. Everybody has got to realise that, you know, like a month ago, we might have had no All-Ireland championship, hurling or football. Now we actually have a chance of it being played. So if it goes back a couple of months and we've got to adapt and change a little bit for a couple of years, so be it and get it played. But, you know, do you do that to the...
Well, we have a roadmap now, though, Mark. Can we? We have a roadmap. Like, we have 11 weeks to do our club.
We have the club roadmap. We don't have the inter-county roadmap. And that's, to be fair, that is a document that is now missing at the moment to put all the pieces together in the jigsaw. Like,
But okay, Mark. Here's a scenario for you, right? You mentioned unprecedented times. We all know it's unprecedented times, right? And absolutely. So for 1 year, like I went through it for the first 9 years of my inter-county career. And you're gone. The fella beside us on the screen knocked me out and sent me home the end of May 1 year with a suit on me and nowhere to go, any club train. I didn't turn up the following week, TJ. But do you know, like here's a scenario right now, and I know there will be difficulties with training and this sort of stuff and that kind of thing. And here's Wexford telling us they'll have their county final played the 27th of September. But like the old system, the Munster quarterfinal played on the 18th of October. The two that are drawn out of the hat. New draw, obviously. The old system, right? Your two semi-finals then played. You give 2 weeks then to the winners of that, right? Losers are gone, right? Unless we go with a backdoor old system where they'd come back in then. Ireland quarterfinal, like to the losers of a provincial final, right? That's a possibility, okay? But if we went with the old system, right? And this is one I just pinned out last night as well, like Munster quarterfinal, the 18th of October, right? And the same in Leinster, because it's the same teams, like, you know, same Mount teams. Two semis the weekend of the 31st of October. That's a 2 week gap, the bank holiday weekend. There's no reason we can't play one of them the Saturday evening under lights in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, the other one on the Sunday in Turles, whatever. Your Munster hurling final then the 15th of November, that's 2 weeks again. Right. Now, you could actually leave out All-Ireland semi-finals because it's unprecedented times, because there'd be no one would be getting an advantage. You would have the winners of Leinster, which includes Galway, remember, and the winners of Munster meeting 2 weeks after that. If you wanted to give them 3 weeks, it would be the first week in December. But 2 weeks after the 15th of November, you could have your All-Ireland final the 29th of November. That's even without going into December. So I think there's a way there if we wanted to do it, wanted to give a second chance then, you would certainly be finished by the end, you know, by the third week in December, like, we'd say 10 days out from Christmas, you'd have it finished for sure.
And I think...
With the matches being finished on the day.
Yeah, you should do that, Dale. I think this is a 2020 problem, and I think the solution should be a 2020 solution. I think it should be done and dusted. If you take this into January, February, you're going to interfere majorly with the calendar for the full year again next year, and you're still going to be talking about it next year. I think that there is enough scope there. I do think 11 weeks is enough for any county to get a club championship done in. Like, if Cork were in the All-Ireland hurling final, Mark, right, up to the end of August in normal times, right, and they had, let's say, a championship to finish, they might have only one or two games, and they're playing Munster Club towards the second last week of October, they might only have 9 weeks, right? So you would squeeze it in. So I do think 11 weeks is enough. And I do think from the 17th of October to Christmas, I think the solution has to be put in there, and then you can start afresh. It is a difficult time. It's not going to be easy. There are loads of challenges there for everybody, but I would like to see
the solution. I know, and the one thing that you're putting in there is that the club, is the inter-county championship will restart on the first weekend, the 17th or 18th of October. I just can't see that happening, lads, that if you say the format you have, Anthony, there, we say take the Glen Rovers are in a county final on the 11th of October and Cork are playing the first round of the Munster Championship on the 18th. I just don't see Kieran Kingston or any intercom. And I know it's unprecedented. I agree 100%. I think with the GPA and the club players organisation and putting on Croke Park hat here financially as well, I just can't see us moving straight from county finals on the 11th of October straight into championship. I think there'll be a couple of weeks there where there'll be a bit of a calming after the club championships and the county finals are over all over the country. We'll get a couple of league matches played. We'll tidy up our business, and then we kick on the first week in November. That's a good feeling I have, Anthony. I don't have any other information, and I know I would have always been a big believer of completing the championship program in the calendar year. I agree 100% with you there, but I just think there are more things at play financially. Social, would Croke Park say to themselves, do we want 21,000 people at our match or 42,000? If we can have 42,000, let's buy ourselves another 6 or 8 weeks by pushing it back to January and February. I think that is definitely, like, at 100 quid ahead, an extra 20 is 2 million euros. Like, the GSN are going to be down 50 million for the year. And I do think there's a financial reward here as well, you know. I don't think the GA are going to cram it, Anthony. I think they'll give themselves a, and like going back to the old system, and then in 2021 come back to the new system. I think they'll try. Certainly in Munster, I think they'll try to keep the status quo of the championship format they have at the moment. That could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I think they'll people being allowed to go to the games could be a significant contributor to a decision, because if people aren't allowed to go to the games, then maybe that financial side of it won't be a player. I mean, there'll be no reason why they couldn't get it finished. So I do think that roadmap, and I do also say in that, right, that it will be important that further, more detailed advice and guidance will be provided in the coming weeks. And look, when Delos crowd get back in and start running the country, we could see significant
things. That's the Greens, is it?
Maybe a bit more leadership here, Delos.
Or is it the independence that might
put all Eamon Ryan?
Healy Ray and Jackie Healy Ray?
Give it to the Healy Rays. It's not the whole thing.
You raised a very,
Larry,
vital thing there. Like,
hold on, Mark, for a minute.
Is the pay-per-view now going to be an option? Because that might solve the financial issue that TJ just said there. Like, you know, that if you had a fiver or a tenner a game and you don't have to go out to the match and you can watch your All-Ireland semi-final or final on pay-per-view or something like that.
I say Mike Reardon is all over that already with the Limerick Championship, Mark.
Yeah. I think Kerry and Limerick have that in place, or potentially in place, for club championships if supporters aren't allowed to go. No, look, the majority of club matches in Limerick anyway, they'll, apart from maybe some of the big games that go to the Gaelic grounds, like the Camalachs and the Bruffs and the Stakers and Arkeel, you would be able to accommodate the crowd. But what the ruling will be on that, I'm sure we'll have to wait and see. It's difficult for clubs because it's so close, and let's say maybe parents of players, they're still playing club championship and they're told they can't go. I think that would be very difficult.
Yeah, that'd be the terrible bit. And I know even Mayo last year kind of, I think, told... I know that TG Cahir obviously have always had the monopoly. We saw RTE last year. We saw a few Cork games last year. Yeah, I remember watching Middleton and... Was it Glen Rovers, yeah. Mark?
You know, so,
RT, you're interested as well, I think. In, yeah, I think. Yeah, that's right, a doubleheader, wasn't it? And I think they're interested in showing games if they can, even if they were midweek games. And I think that'd be a huge attraction as well. That's, you know, imagine being at home on a Wednesday night and you've been able to tune into, maybe a Turles Sarsfields versus, Holy Cross Ballycahill or, whatever. Like, I mean, that'd be a huge attraction. And just on that, Larry, like, one of the most complicated things in the world for me is not the Rubik's Cube or not how we put fellas in space, and that it's the Tipperary County Championship and how you finally get to win. Like, because I know lads that have coached down there, including Ollie Baker and Colin Lynch is currently with Ross Gray, and it seemed to me you could be bailed 4 or 5 times. I remember saying to Ali one time, are you gone now, Al? No, he says, we still can get through the Orion Cup, he says. What the fuck is this? How'd you get out of the thing? I said. No, I know there's been attempts to streamline, Lar, in the last year or so.
Yeah, I think Kamar and the lads doing the thing. It's like trying to play out of a snooker out of 4 cushions, I'd say, at the moment now, trying to get this done. Like, but... yeah, in fairness, the actual main championship, the Dan Breen Cup, the Senior A, isn't that complicated. It's 4 groups of 4, like, so they could play off that pretty handily, I'd say, even if they had to drop 2 qualify from each group for the quarters. But the problem is the divisional championships all feed into that as well. Then, like, so basically, you could have to win 4 matches to win the North Championship. Which, as we all know, I mean, the North Championship is one of the most prestigious championships in the country, though, as you well know.
And the North Kerry football, Larry, I was going to say, do you know, it is, they're the 2, though.
It is. It's a big deal.
North Kerry football, yeah.
North Tip Hurling's a big deal. Like, so, but the problem is, if the same team, like, you could always put back that until later on if the right teams are winning it, you know. But if it's teams who haven't already qualified for the county quarterfinals out of the groups are in the finals and semifinals of the North Championship, you have to wait until those are played. Because winning the North Championship will get you into a preliminary quarterfinal for the county championship, where you'll play one of the teams who finish second in their group. So that's where the slight complication would lie. So what they could do is they could cut the tie altogether between them. But then you devalue the North Championship and the Mid Championship and the West and
but of course,
that, you know?
unprecedented, Laramie, they might be willing to say that the North. I know how prestigious. The North is like, it's a bit, as I said, it was funny being interviewing Bomber last week, the North Kerry football as well, like, you know, massive fun. Some competitions just don't catch the imagination, but they're two that kind of stick out at you. But would the provincial boards, not provincial boards, the North, South, West, and the Mid, would they have kind of power and their own autonomy, if you like, you know what I mean, in terms of financial stuff and that kind of thing in the county?
Well, they would, but like the thing is, every year, I mean, I think the county board basically want the link to be discontinued, you know, but every year it's been voted down that the clubs want to persist with the link between the two, because obviously it makes the North Championship in particular and the Mid Championship more valuable to the teams then, you know. I mean, the West...
What you're saying, Larry, if they go with the 4 groups of 4 that are the A, we'll say the Tipperary A senior A teams at the moment.
Yeah.
And if they scrap the division, there would be no way then of a we'll say a B senior B team winning the county final.
Exactly, yeah. So at the moment, the 16 senior B teams are in their divisional championship, obviously, and they could come through to the come back into the county situation via their divisional championship. But if they scrap that link for the year, just let's say, then they could run it off in 5 or 6 weeks, no problem.
Would there be big hitters in the B that would have a major problem with that? That you'd know off the top of your head? No, I'm not.
Well, our boys, the Templary lads, like, would be
fancying yourselves, like.
Well, they're always there, thereabouts in the North, you know. So,
and yet, if they go with a new system, all ye could win was the Ryan B County.
Yeah, and promotion then next year to the
might have to go that way, TJ.
And Dillo, I did see on the Kilkenny page, right, where it clearly states that all knockout games will be finished on the day with 2 periods of extra time if needed, and then penalties if required. could we see a, potentially a county final being decided on penalties?
I think we could, Tej. I think we'd have to. And I think, do you know what? Some of the, like, what do we look like? We watch all sports, all four of us, I suppose. And like the World Cup, though, we often be dreaming when we watch the World Cup final that nobody scores an extra time. So we get the drama of the penalties. Like, you know, again, wouldn't be my normal way. I'd always want the replay of getting to that county final, but and giving fellas another chance at it. But wouldn't it be massive drama for 1 year, though? Do you know that you're in the Gaelic grounds and it's Kilmallock and the Pearse League, or it could be Gary Spillane and Kilmallock.
Well,
we have to see who bring the bragging rights down south. You know, and like you've young Dylan O'Shea stepping up to the last penalty and at 4-4, like, yeah. And Kilmallock have just missed. Would you take it, TJ, now at this point in time?
Not a matter. I assume that'll rock across most counties, I'd imagine, for hurling and football. Like, games will just have to be finished. It's just going to be a fact of life that you won't have. The other thing that we didn't discuss in any of this, Dela, which we have no control over, is the weather, which could play a role in some of this. Because if you've got a weekend there heading in towards possibly the end of September, maybe even early October, that was unplayable. It'd be more of a factor possibly for the inter-county. But if the weather plays havoc, then we will need your party, Dela.
Yeah, well, I just on Mark's earlier point that he can't see it being finished, like, and I'm no meteorologist now, right? That would complicate life even further, TJ. But like, for sure, like, Mark, you remember that Harty Cup final there in February there or whatever? Like, you just couldn't play it. Like, but like, for sure, in the last few years, we've had better autumn weather, autumn into that early part of winter than the after Christmas period. No, I'm not fucking saying for a second that I'm telling you that this December is going to be better than the next January. Like, I'm not saying that, but like, that will be. But look, I think we're blessed now, though, lads, with Páirc Uí Chaoimh haven't had its problems. The new pitch, lads, is like Croker now. It's virtually all weather.
She's playable, like, all year round, Dela. And the Cork County Board would love to be able to host All Ireland semi-finals in January or February. There wouldn't be any issue whatsoever. And look, to be fair, the quality of
Croke. We have it for January and February, will you? You're going to ruin the course in Clonmel if you keep talking like this.
I knew there was a reason you went. Tis your own personal calendar is upset.
Oh, well, like, you can't interfere with the coursing, right? The hurling starts after the coursing. But lads, look, I, you know, we've had a great, we nearly an hour talking about it. We could be baiting this over and back and all that sort of thing. But, you know, just wearing our inter-county hats, right? We've all three of us have been involved, right? At the very top level in that. I mean, like, they're saying that no training can take place the 14th of September. Sure, that's not a runner either. Like, let's face it, like, that'll have to be changed. Like, that there's a ban on inter-county training till the 4th. I mean, if Clare go the way they're going, like, and just say we've only Stephen O'Halloran on the panel at the moment with Clare, but just say we lost the first round in Kilcastle and then we lost our losers group match the following week. Like, they're saying that Stephen O'Halloran then can't train from the second weekend in August until the 14th of September. You know, he'd have to do a bit in his own. So that's ridiculous stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it won't work, Dela. And to be honest about it, they won't adhere to it. And I did see some correspondence in the Examiner during the week from Liam and stuff kind of saying that the managers won't adhere to it. I do know, like, they'll probably break it by training in pads and different groups. But I'm sure the different coaches would like to get them together along the way. Like, it depends on the call, Dela, for that 17th of October. Is that championship? If that's championship, these inter-county managers will be... even if your team's in the county final, they'll want them up for a night that week, if that's championship.
I know. And that's massive. And Mark, like, the one thing I'd say about this is, right, just say the Limerick... I'd go to Cork, right? And just say it's Imokilly versus the Glen, right? Possible anyway. That could be the case, like, right? You know, Imokilly, Middleton, let's say, right? Whatever. But would you be happy that you'd only two clubs, would say, for the... That's played, we'll say, the 11th of October, right? That's a week out from the start of the Munster. Now, you mightn't be in the quarterfinal game, right? But if you are, that's the following week. Now, that's only two clubs, right, that are gone out. You'd have everybody else in your county set up. No, I presume Imokili and Middleton will say, and I might take them as examples, would be superbly coached and trained. Now, they wouldn't be part of your own internal plans and structures. I understand that. Game plans. You might be able to get them into meetings and stuff like that. But, like, would you have to maybe look at maybe that you're saying, like, Limerick case of Napier, Sick, Kilmallock. Again, TJ, they'd be superbly coached. Like, Six Mile Bridge are coached by Davy Fitzgerald. Like, do you know, like, that they would be getting great training. And always the worry you'd have going back, like with that other system, is, you know, lads who are on the county panel and are only playing intermediate and lose the first round of the intermediate in Clare, let's say, that, or even if they're winning, that the training wouldn't be good enough for your county standard.
Yeah, but you're still going to have a chunk of that. You would, like, they wouldn't be up to inter-county speed. You know, being a club training day, as high as you'll get it. And I don't mean disrespect to any of the guys in the back ends of panels hanging around club teams and stuff like that, right? But it just wouldn't be the same. That inter-county, like, you know yourself, your final real serious workout, whether it's that Saturday or Sunday, the week before the championship, that's when you want to see guys that are on the money. You have them full on contact. They will definitely want that. And, like, you won't get that in the club scenario. We might talk about some clubs, yeah, at a very high level. You might get a touch of it, but it'll be difficult. I do see big rows in that space if there's championship on the 17th of October. I do see, like, club managers, club coaches wanting their players not released to the county for those 2 weeks, and county managers or county coaches kind of saying, I can't prepare a team for the 17th of October with just having Keane Lynch on Tuesday night. I can't. Like.
Yeah, that is the... Until we know more, Mark, I don't think, you know, we can talk all day about it and what might and what... Until we know more and we get the next stage of the roadmap to GAA pan out, and if the cases in the country remain on the downward curve, and, you know, we're nearly eradicating the virus, whether that can be said or not, that we can't really plan that 18th of October, you know, would be the start of the Munster Hurling Championship.
We don't know. I think that's a big thing for the GAA to discuss, and they've given themselves until the 29th of June, Anthony, to come up with an answer or a solution for that. But I mean, I think it would be totally unrealistic of an inter-county manager to ask any player to attend a training session the week of a fella preparing for a county final with his own club. I mean, that's, to me, that'd be wrong, like, to ask a fella to talk, like, you know, if we're talking about burnout, like, if they're training Tuesday and Thursday with Middleton or Imokili and stuff like that, what's he going to do with going for a training session with Cork or for any Limerick or Clare? There's nothing to be gained. You're only antagonising the player anyway, is the first thing. You're creating a problem for the club, either club and the county manager. You have got, like, as a county manager, you have got to realise these guys aren't machines at all. I mean, is the inter-county training that good or that far advanced above a club that they're going to become superstars? I don't buy that at all for 1 second, to be honest with you, because, like, you know, I think a lot of clubs all over the country, whether it is intermediate or senior, the standard of club training has gone way up in comparison to what it used to be in the past. And a lot of that is because fellas are more interested in getting exposure to the inter-county scene, and they are bringing that back to their own club. But for me, there's nothing to be gained for an inter-county manager sticking his craw in the week of any player preparing for a county final with his club. The most important thing is that he gets a phone call at 7 o'clock on Sunday night to say, we won the county or we lost the county, but I have no injury. I'll see you on Monday night for the recovery session, and I'll be back in full training on Tuesday night. I'll be ready to go the following weekend. But I think it's an area, and, like, this really is an area, and it's a bone of contention for the last decade, really, of inter-county versus club. And that's where it's going to raise its head. And I can see where a strong club with a strong manager will stand up to the inter-county manager, but I can see where a weak club and a weak manager will fall over, will bow over, and he'll release the inter-county, the club player, back to the county team, even though they're still in championship. And that's where, you know, fellas need to be diplomatic and need to be realistic about it. And that the 14th of September to the 11th of October, there is going to be more fights and arguments between inter-county managers and club players and club management that you'll never see, that you've ever seen. And I'm talking to two former inter-county managers here now, lads.
I wouldn't like to be ringing Mark Lanz, who's the club manager, looking for his players, but it's owns that. I think we'd be, it's all where we're going. Just one other question, Della, right, with your COVID hat on, right? Like, is there a possibility here, right? Let's say in Clare Castle or Garage Balan or Killer, right? Let's say there is a positive case, right? Is there a possibility here, right? Because let's say there are condensed places that club could be told you can't play for 2 weeks?
Sure, there is, I'd say, Teed, you know, and that's the other thing, you know, we didn't touch on whether a fella doesn't want to play. Mark touched on it maybe at the start there, you know, that he might, you know, somebody at home might have an underlying condition, and if anything went wrong, like, I mean, that's why my own personal opinion, and this is from more wearing the COVID response hat than the GA hat, would be that, Jesus, if we could kind of stick to the guidelines really strictly for another month, yep, you know, into the first month, the first week, you know, what have we today? The 8th, 9th, 10th of June, the 9th, 10th of July. If cases were really, you know, dead in the water as such at that stage, we might have great optimism, you know, going forward. Like, I think, TJ, you'd have to look at, we're 18 and a half weeks away from that date of the 17th, 18th of October, right?
Yeah.
Now, 18 and a half weeks backwards, right? I think it was only 5 days after the first Chinese tourist brought the cases into Italy, right? So an awful lot can happen, lads, I would say, in 18 and a half weeks, do you know? And I think this thing, if you go through it, like, and there's been lads coming out with desperate, strong statements all along, and you know, columns and scrap it and all this, and it's time to call it off and forget about it for this year. It's unprecedented. Other people coming out with, you know, Colm O'Rourke being one of the prime ones of that, like coming out saying we have to get on with life. Colm said the leaving search should have gone ahead and all that. I don't think anyone's right or wrong on this. I think it's just a fluid kind of a moving situation that we have to, you know, allow for and run with it week on week. Like, I know that there's a council meeting in Clare, we'll say, on Friday, which is very important, I'd say, in that all the various stakeholders involved in the response thing would be given a chance to where we're at now, if you like. And I even think, you know, Joe Cooney, being a county councillor who's the Clare county chairman, would probably be there and probably would be given his take on where the GA stand on it. And I just think we can't really push... We have to give ourselves a roadmap, obviously, do you know, and say that club championship will have to be done and dusted 11 weeks and we're making the decision, no Munster club, no All-Ireland club. But the other side of things, we don't know about spikes and local areas, TJ, as you said. We don't know what's going to happen there. I just think that we have to just roll with the weeks as we go on.
The temperature testing is a great idea, Anthony. Like, 30, I think it's 37 and a half degrees is the temperature that a player, if he's over 37 and a half degrees, he's not allowed in to train on the 29th of June. So I think, you know, the clubs need to be responsible here, like, and follow the guidelines. And, like, that is a key guideline. And if we, like, the country has done a magnificent job on the coronavirus, and let's keep it going is the big thing. And we can only do that by following the guidelines that have been set out from the government and from the GAA.
Yeah, I put up a tweet lightheartedly, Mark, there, that it nearly went viral. I was saying, back in the day, club training, the Monday night, run it out of your session. I said, if there was temperature checks going in the gate, there wouldn't be too many lads let in Clare Castle anyway, I tell you. To be no about or new. And would they go home either, Teej, is the other thing.
No, I agree. And it's strange, Dillo, here, right? We are looking at pitches opening and pubs opening coming at the same time. So, like I said, for some players, like, it's going to be a nice little challenge. They had loads of time for drinking all along. The pubs were closed. But look, the reality is, it looks like that dealing with COVID is here to stay for the foreseeable future, vaccine or no vaccine. So, like, it is good that there is some sort of a protocol there to return to play. I'm probably agreeing with you, though. We've moved that in the last month. Another month would make a significant difference. And what clubs and teams and players do over the next 3-4 weeks, certainly as groups, I think will be huge.
And lads, we'll wrap it at that. I suppose we didn't come to any great conclusions. We didn't come to any definitive when we'll be finished and when we won't. The biggest thing I'll take out of this is Mark Landers doesn't want to give up the Monday after the Cork final.
Never did, Taylor. Never did, right? That was when you lift the pillow. Lift the head off the pillow and you know you're after winning the county the day before, just all the pains and aches are all gone. But I can tell you, there's no worse feeling on the Monday morning when you know you're after being beat in the county final that you probably should have won, like, as you know yourself.
I know. The only consolation with that is you're probably not exactly heading to work, probably, and you might meet up with a few of the boys, and 2 or 3 hours later, the pain is slightly eased until Tuesday morning waking up.
Absolutely.
I often found that the Tuesday morning wake up was a good bit harder.
Well, you're after reading the papers and you've the echo read at that stage, and you're after getting probably slated in the paper.
Clear ratings and they're not great, and they're giving you a 6 and they're being sympathetic. Like, great stuff, boys, as always. And look, pleasure, and thanks a million for taking the time out. I was going to talk about who do you think could win a winter all Ireland and all that sort of stuff, but I think, look, we'll save that one because I don't know now. Will it suit Limerick and Tip having gone on their warm weather training camps early in the year, Matt? We might be as well off.
They'll be going on a skiing trip the next time now, Dale, to prepare for that. So you see, they can go the first 2 weeks of January, Dale, because I'm telling you, the final won't be until February. And JP has no problem in sending the boys off.
we leave it on that note. TJ, don't respond. Please, don't. Great stuff, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, lads.
Thanks again for joining us on the Irish Examiner Sports Podcast. And don't forget, you can read the full Irish Examiner and every supplement just as they are printed, anytime, anywhere, on your phone, your PC, or your tablet, using our e-paper. Just visit irishexaminer.com/e-paper for all the details.